At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batzer. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein. He writes for the Civitas Institute with regard to a trade war between the United States and the European Union. Richard teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago, and he comes to us now from traveling in the Midwest. Richard, on the American side, major automakers can deal with President Donald Trump's tariffs on U.S. auto imports in a number of ways, writes Reuters. But all of them lead to higher prices, fewer choices of models or limits on features. Industry experts say Trump announced 25% tariff on car and auto parts on Wednesday, sending global automaker shares down and raising fears of job losses in big auto exporting countries. This is one part of your presentation. We will come to the European Union retaliation in just a moment. The 25% tariffs on automobiles. Is this meant to be punitive? Is it meant to be constructive? There are remarks that it's meant to bring jobs home. However, there are already many jobs in this country run by foreign car makers. I'm thinking of Toyota and Honda and Mercedes. We want more of them. What is the end of this salvo from the administration? Good evening to you.
Well, it won't end happily. The only question is which bad outcome we're most likely to see. The hope of this is that this is some kind of an announcement to shake some money tree or to get some concession from the other side, maybe on fentanyl or whatever it is. But there is no one who's serious about the economics of this who thinks that there's anybody on either side of the pond who is going to benefit from a system of tariffs. The most important thing to understand is that whenever you make an American car, you have a very extensive trade pipeline and production line that requires you to get inputs from everywhere else. And it turns out that if there are going to be tariffs on the cars, there are going to be tariffs on the parts. And if there are tariffs on the parts, it's going to make the cost of American cars more expensive. So American production will actually yield because the domestic substitutes are not that very large in many cases. The thing to understand is when you talk about cars or steel or anything else, the temptation in popular discourse is to treat it as though it's one thing. But there are 15 different lines of cars and probably 100 different kinds of steel. And there is no nation that has the capacity to make all of those things simultaneously. Each of these things require very heavy front-end investment. And if you only make the investment for your domestic market, you cannot put enough money into it. So what you have to do is to have countries around the world, each specializing in this, that, or the other thing, having foreign markets which allow them, under the circumstances, to spread the fixed cost of starting this business over a very large range. The moment you start turning yourself into a xenophobic nation, you're going to have to do these things locally, and it's going to be much more inefficient. And it's also going to introduce retaliation from the other side. And once you start having retaliation, it's just a downward spin. And the president, I think, kind of acknowledges that, but he regards this as a purification process. We want to create an autarky where everything is domestic and sufficient, and he's willing to go through a recession to get it. But the recession won't get him what he wants because you will have the short-term loss, but you'll never be able to get the long-term gains because of the structural feature that I just mentioned. Either you have a worldwide market or you cannot make a very heavy specialized investment in a kind of technology which is vital, but not big enough to support only your work in your particular country. And so this is a doomsday situation, wholly without retaliation. One of the things that you have to mention is, goes under the fancy name of the Ricardo equivalence theorem. And what it says is, if you're a nation that imposes tariffs on somebody else, what's going to happen is there's going to be less demand for your products. You're now going to basically have a favorable exchange rate, i.e. your products are going to be more expensive in the market. And so when you try to sell them overseas, you're going to get resistant. And so what happens is the tariff produces a monetary effect, which offsets it so that nobody gains from their imposition. This has been well established. If you look around and see all the notable people in this business, they're all saying exactly the same thing. This cannot work. I do not regard myself as a true expert in international trade, but I do understand the basic proposition that if you're going to operate a world market, what you try to do is to make seamless movement back and forth across different nationalities so that you can expand the gains from trade to cover everybody. And Trump is doing exactly the opposite. And the problem is neither he nor J.D. Vance seem to know, or at least to articulate, why it is that this is such a dangerous policy. And this is a real kind of national policy tragedy that we're going on here. When Trump was elected, there was kind of euphoria in the corporate world. And I shared that sort of euphoria because I believe that the Biden situation was one of the worst we ever had in the world on international trade and on everything else. And what Trump seems to be doing is exactly what Biden did, favoring certain people, putting in really nationalistic and jingoistic situations and so forth. And so what's happened is you're going to lose confidence. And John, one of the things that you learn in business about things is that the intangibles always come first and the tangibles always come second. And the intangibles are, can you keep the morale of your own workforce up? The tangibles or intangibles are, can you get the confidence of everybody else? The intangibles are, is there an exchange of trust, which if facilitated or accepted, then leads to rapid exchange of individual goods and services. So if you ignore the intangibles in a business, within a business, it will suffer. And if you ignore the intangibles in a worldwide setting, you will suffer even more because there are going to be no corrective forces that will happen. Smoot-Hawley did not help the United States as a set of tariffs. Back in 1930, and none of this is going to help. People have said Trump is just doing this as a joke or as a stratagem and so forth. The problem is he seems to believe his own rhetoric, and that is going to prove to be extremely dangerous. There will be a lower standard of living here and everywhere else. The gloomy stuff that you heard from Reuters is in fact correct. What is so ironic about this is if the left wants to take after Trump now, one of the ways in which they can do it is argue the mantle of free trade. They may not believe it, but at least they could put the rhetoric out, and it's going to be effective because people in the middle who were worried in the first term when Trump was elected about his trade policies will now be in a full-scale panic.
Contributing an anecdote. Once upon a time, I was talking to somebody who was disappointed with General Motors' product, and the way he described it to me was this. He said, you know when you close the trunk of a car, and you have a gap on both sides of the car where the trunk comes down. You measure one side and compare it to the other. They should be exact. When you measure Toyotas, they're exact. When you measure General Motors, they're not. Now, I use that example because those of us who buy foreign cars, I've bought Volvos for years, we accept the fact that we're paying a premium. And we're paying a premium so those two indications match on both sides. The American automobiles did not for many years. It might be different now, but once you get an opinion of where you buy quality and what you get for your money, you stay with it. That's the nature of the consumer. I do not profoundly believe that Americans are going to rush to an American-made car until and if they solve that gap problem on both sides of the trunk, and I have no reason to believe they have.
Well, I think actually the quality of American cars has improved, and the ability for them to compete successfully in certain markets, for example, the Cadillac and Lincoln market dominates the foreign markets in these areas. I think they are getting better because I think they really understand that what is said. What has happened is it's the communication of information about how it is that you design and market products, as we started with the Japanese, has been incorporated into the United States so as to reduce that particular kind of advantage. But tariffs doesn't help this one way or another. What happens is even if you keep the quality constant and show that the differential exists, If you raise the prices on the Japanese cars by 10%, you will probably lose 3 or 4% of your market.
All right, and that will start. One more example then. Yeah. Recently, I was told that what we're looking at here is a landscape in which manufacturing is going to become more and more robotic. And
that's
therefore,
true.
Therefore, these car companies have a lot of room to give away on price advantage because of those robots. And they know it. And they're looking for a future that has a minimal number of human beings being employed, which means a minimal amount of overhead once you get the initial investment. Tariffs don't touch that.
Well, actually they do, because what they do is the equipment that you need to run these programs is in fact going to be subject to some kinds of tariffs. And if they are subject to tariffs or union pressures and so forth, their costs will go up. The point you're making is exactly correct. And markets will, in fact, make all of those kinds of adjustments, because what will happen is if the quality differential is there, the customers will know that and they will migrate away. Tariffs don't help that one way or another. It just makes both alternatives more costly, which means that the level of production possibilities moves closer to the origin, less for everybody. And the only thing you're talking about is the possible uncertainty about the distributional effects. I call this Pareto pessimality. It's okay to make the other guy worse off, even if you have to make yourself worse off to do it. I'm in favor of Pareto improvements. I want both sides to get better. And what this will do, directly and through retaliation, is it will shrink the total market for both sides and leave everybody a loser. That's the great fear. American companies were way behind on many of these things, and the foreign companies took over. Then we decided to impose tariffs on them. And what they did quite cleverly is they started to open up plants in the United States in places like South Carolina and Tennessee. And that's exactly what they should be doing. And what happens is, if in fact you invest money in the United States, your trade deficits are going to be somewhat larger, because you have a foreign country that's confident enough that they can invest in America and not be expropriated. That's what we have to do. And that's one of the other things that's going to start coming up, because if you're willing to use the tariff game, the questions are, you willing to use either selective taxes or expropriation strategies of one form or another to prejudice foreign investment in the United States? The Chinese essentially have lost out on huge markets, because everybody knows that if you put investment intellectual property in the hands of the Chinese, they will misappropriate it and put it somewhere else.
Let's go to Europe, because they, if not retaliation, they're committing the same kind of sin about about tariffs. Richard Epstein, writing for the Civitas Institute on The World Without Adam Smith.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the MyLowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more with volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.